relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This episode of the America First podcast with me, Sebastian Gorka, is brought to you by Franklin Armory. Shop freedom, quality, and innovation at franklinarmory.com. Franklin Armory, we are facilitators of freedom. Why did we launch the Manhood Hour? Greetings, dear friends. I'm Sebastian Gorka, your host for our special hour-long discussion with real men about what it means to be a real man. Was it just because, I don't know, I like cigars, fast cars and guns and movies with John Wayne in them? No, because there is actually a war against manhood. And if you go on social media, you will be deluged by things like this.
All right, so something that's really cool and unique about who I am is that I am transgender. So we touched a little bit about that at the beginning of this week in the book that Ms. Hammond read, but I'm going to give you my explanation about what it means to be transgender as well. So when babies are born, the doctor looks at them and they make a guess about whether the baby is a boy or a girl based on what they look like. And most of the time, that guess is 100% correct. There are no issues whatsoever. But sometimes the doctor is wrong. The doctor makes an incorrect guess. When the doctor makes a correct guess, that's when a person is called cisgender. When a doctor's guess is wrong, that's when they are transgender. So I'm a man. But when I was a baby, the doctors told my parents I was a girl. And so my parents gave me a name that girls typically have and bought me clothes that girls typically wear. And until I was 18 years old, everyone thought I was a girl. And this was super, super uncomfortable for me because I knew that wasn't right.
She knew that wasn't right. Well, I think we know what was right and what was wrong with that story. God bless libs of TikTok. She's been canceled again, but she simply posts what these crazy people are putting online. And that is example of the assault, not just on manhood, but men and women. Let's talk about all of this with somebody I've got to know as a warrior for the truth. He is the author of the new book, Erased, Pastor John Amachukwu. Welcome to the Manhood Hour.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gorka, for having me on your show. My book releases on October 4th. Everywhere books are sold, go and find a copy. Go to www.erasedbook.com, E-R-A-C-E-D book.com, and get a copy.
All right. We'll talk about the book. We'll get to the book. Don't worry about that. But that's not the prime reason we're here. But we will discuss why you wrote the book and why my publisher, Regnery, picked it up. But I have a standard set of questions that I ask all my guests to go through, whether it's a founding member of Delta Force like General Jerry Boykin, whether it's the former SEAL who is the author of Terminal List, Jack Carr, who launched the Manhood Hour for you. And I'm going to start with that first question I asked all of them. Is masculinity, is the concept, the practice of manhood in trouble, Pastor John?
Yes, it's in trouble because the left, who has been influenced by Satan, has allowed them to destroy the very foundations of masculinity. And I think that now more than ever, we need men to speak up and to display what true masculinity is. Now, we have a system today that's telling us that men can be women and women can be men. There is no such thing as a third gender. The only thing you get when you start to mutilate yourself is that you get a Halloween scarecrow. I want you to know today, those who are listening, that Satan is behind this movement that seeks to redefine manhood. From the beginning of time, Satan, our adversary, has hated the image of God. And so he has sought to kill the image of God through abortion, but also through making men be attracted to the same sex and making women attracted to the same sex. And by doing so, there is no procreation. So yes, manhood is essential. Manhood is important. And there's nothing toxic about masculinity.
Forgive my ignorance, but I guess that's why I'm a radio host and you're a pastor. But just that one point is so incredibly eye-opening. If our faith tells us, if the good book instructs us that it all begins by man being created in God's image, then of course, what is the devil going to want to do? He's going to want to destroy that image. He's going to want to mess with the concept of man and woman and create such confusion that that beautiful reflection of our Creator is sabotaged. My gosh, that's a wonderful way to start. All right, well, let's take a couple of minutes to talk about how you got to be Pastor John. So before we go further with the rest of the questions I want to ask you, what we're going to do about it, also why you wrote your book Erased and what's happened to manhood in the black community in America, tell us a little bit about who John Amanchukwu is, where you came from, why you're doing what you do today, and also let's start with, I love this, what Amanchukwu means.
Yes, so my full name is John Kanayochukwu Amanchukwu, and Kanayochukwu means I will keep trusting and pleading in God, and Amanchukwu means I know God. And I'm proud to say, I say this unabashedly, that I am born again. Christ is my Savior. I have not been bludgeoned by society to the point that I'm ashamed that I am a believer. You know, there is an attack on Christianity today. We see it from the left. There are tools, there are mechanisms that they are using, but I'm not ashamed. At the age of 19, I gave my life to Christ. I'm one of those who came to God early and often. And I kind of had things together, but by the age of 12, I went through puberty. And so, you know, as every young man battles and struggles with his desires, I contended with the same thing. But at the age of 19, I gave my life to Christ and the Lord saved me. And from there on, I had a propensity to lean towards the things of God. And so I found myself during my sophomore year in college, pulling young men into the racket ballroom at NC State's football stadium, calling them to God, calling them towards prayer. And on Tuesday nights, I led a Bible study. And so I've been doing this now for about 19 years, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. I believe that pastors are significant. I believe today that pastors oftentimes are using the spirit of cowardice, which is not a fruit of the spirit, but we need more pastors to preach and to teach and to make plain what CNN and MSNBC seeks to make cloudy. Today, now more than ever, we need preachers to be bold and to be courageous.
And tell us why you decided to write this first book of yours, Erased. What was the trigger? I mean, you're busy enough. You and I are going to go on a national speaking circuit to talk about these issues of manhood and courage. But why did you decide to write the book Erased?
Well, during the summer of 2020, as we all witnessed, people burning down city after city, the Black Lives Matters movement, which is really a farce, Antifa, all of these groups. We saw all of those things going on. I was at one of the busiest abortion clinics in the Southeast called a Woman's Choice Clinic of Raleigh. And I was approached by a father who walked up to me and said, "Why are you out here fighting a white man's issue?" This was a Black man wearing a BLM shirt. And I thought about it that day when he said it, and I looked around and I saw that 70% of the people outside of the abortion clinic were white, but nearly 80 to 85% of the moms in the abortion clinic prepared to abort their baby, they were black. But this black father is going to accost me and tell me I'm fighting a white man's issue.
Wow.
Now, if I were to ask him what the definition of critical race theory was, he would probably tell me, I don't know. But he was a walking poster child for all things CRT, because in critical race theory, they see it people as groups and not as individuals. I believe this, and I'll say it again, that racism is not a skin tone or a color. It's sin. And sin is something that everyone contends with, whether it's a different form of sin or whether it's racism. At some point in time, you will contend with a personal bias and or prejudice. It's up to you.
Yeah, those figures are shocking. You're absolutely right. How, you know, the BLM activists, the actual real creator of BLM, Eric Mann, is white. The people who are suffering as a result of critical race theory are blacks as well as other minorities. We'll talk about all of that and its effect on manhood here in America in a second. But first things first, if you enjoy the Manhood Hour, if you enjoy our one-on-ones, be sure to subscribe. It's absolutely free. Go to Spotify, plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Write us a five-star review and share the links, because we are in a war for the truth.
In 2015, I tried to commit suicide. I tried to take my own life. I took a bunch of pills and tried to drive off a cliff. By 2023, we will have more deaths by suicide than we will post 9/11 combat.
Babe is referring to a report out just this summer that estimates that since 9/11, we've lost more active duty personnel and veterans to suicide than those actually killed in combat.
Can I just give you the figures there, friends? 7,000 killed in combat since 9/11. 7,000 members of the armed services. Over 30,000 dead by suicide. It's just wrong. How do we stop it? 22 a day dying at their own hand. There's one organization that is stepping up to the plate. It is founded by combat veterans who likewise had suicidal thoughts, but said, no, we're not going to take that route, and we're going to help our fellow veterans and active service duty members. And they've created a series of ranches across America where those who are battling those demons they brought home from the war zones can find tranquility and a modicum of peace with their families and try and defeat those demons and reintegrate into society. It is a Christ-based system. The Mighty Oaks is there for their fellow warriors. Will you help support them? Every warrior that goes to one of these retreats, it costs $2,500. They don't pay a penny, not for the travel, not for the food, not for the accommodation, nothing. It's because of people like you that they are helped. Please go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Restore Our Warriors banner. You are doing the Lord's work, and they've done so much for us. It is time that we gave back. Would you give $100? Would you give $1,000 today to help those who are trying to battle their own demons back here at home and walk with us as free men in America? Make a difference today, sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Restore Our Warriors banner at the top. We're back with Pastor John Amachukwu, author of Erased. It is the Manhood Hour. Pastor John, second question I have for you. What has been the most damaging to manhood in America and in Western civilization, in the Judeo-Christian civilization? There's so many things to choose from, whether it's feminism, whether it's the assault on the family, whether it's the assault on faith, whether it's Hollywood. As a practicing pastor, as a speaker traveling the nation, where do you see the main line of assault against classical conceptualizations of manhood and portraying it as something toxic?
Well, you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 14, it says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love. I think a lot of it stems from men not acting like men, and men giving up their authority, and men bowing to the feminist movement. The culture today strips men of their masculinity. And then we turn around and apologize for the very fact that God has made us men. That's where the problem lies. I think that men today should speak up, be true, be strong in the faith. Men should be watchful. The Bible also says that when I was a child, I spake like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, a M-A-N, a man, when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so manhood stems from a person becoming mature and growing up. You know, it's irresponsible in our culture today that we have so many men who are 35 and 40. They're unmarried. They live in the basement of their parents' home. They're living off of their family still at the age of 40. That's a shame. What's up with manhood? Men go and conquer. We lead. We develop things. We build things. We come home with our hands dirty. There's an attack on manhood, and it must stop. You know, I'm getting fired up talking about this because I see the intent and the plan of the left and of Satan to destroy manhood. But guess what? We have two powerful men on today, Dr. Gorka and yours truly, and we are going to fight with all that we have to contend for manhood.
Well, that's too kind. I love this idea that a man comes home with his hands dirty. I love it. Give us some other descriptions of what a man is. We had Jerry Boykin, General Boykin, founder of Delta Force. He gave us, he's been thinking about this all his life. He's written books about it. He said, you've got to be a pastor. You've got to be a leader. You've got to be a battle buddy to your buddies. Give us some other descriptions of what it means to be a man to Pastor John.
Yes. So, a man is a person who takes courage, uses strength, but knows that even in his ability to be strong, he must be steel and velvet. When we talk about masculinity and manhood, we're not thinking about a person who towers over people and becomes a tyrant and commands his family and who's hard upon his children and his spouse. You know, the Bible tells us we should love our wives as Christ loved the church. And how did Jesus love the church? He loved the church so much that he was willing to die for it. So a man is the first to be sacrificed in the family. There was a time frame where when me and my wife, when we were married early on, we didn't have the resources that we have today. And there were times where I didn't buy a new pair of shoes. I didn't buy a new suit. If we had a car, she got the new car. If we put new tires on the car, we made sure it was on her car. Why? Because I'm a man. I'm going to make sure that my family is taken care of. I'm going to make sure my wife is taken care of. And I feel the same way about my three beautiful black children. I make sure that they're taken care of first. Men put their family first.
Yeah, I have had the honor. I haven't met her yet, but I've had the honor to be on multiple video calls with your bride. And as the old saying goes, behind every great man, there is a greater woman, a very powerful power behind the throne, as is in my case, my muse, Katie. And the same goes for your beautiful bride. We're talking to Pastor John Amanchukwu. Please check out the book Erased. I've only just started. I can see we're going to get some great answers on what it means to be a man and how we're going to rediscover and fight for manhood. In the meantime, I got bad news for you. We got two more years of these anti-men, these clowns running the country, senile old leftists. Are you prepared for if it gets worse? I'm not talking about a hurricane. I'm not talking about Ian. I'm talking about the next time you go to the grocery store and it won't be formula, baby formula that you've run out of. It'll be bread. It'll be food. It'll be the staples of life. You know it's going to get worse before it gets better. What do you do about it? You have a plan B. Every man is prepared. He is ready to provide for his loved ones even when things go bad. You've got to have a plan B, and I have. We're the biggest, the best out there. It's My Patriot Supply. They supply emergency food that lasts for 25 years. 2,000 calories a day, absolutely delicious. And if you use my link, you'll get $250 off the 3-month supply. Don't be the father, don't be the grandfather who has his loved ones, his kids, his grandkids look at him and say, Dad, What's for dinner? And there's nothing. Go today to preparewithgorka.com. You need to always provide. And you can beat inflation right now with this incredible offer. Go to preparewithgorka.com. Preparewithgorka.com. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, my buddy, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to my listeners. The Percal bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're on sale. For example, the queen size is regularly $89.98, but now for you, just $39.98 with your listener promo. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percal sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. It's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-829-8468, promo code Gorka, or just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and plug in G-O-R-K-A. That's 1-800-829-8468 or MyPillow.com, code Gorka. If you enjoy our show, please understand that we are not NPR. We don't get $500 million every year from the state. We are a free market enterprise. We are supported by great patriots like Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell is under the gun. He is a man. He understands what it means to be a leader amongst men. They want to cancel him. Now, Walmart have canceled his products. Let's have his back. Support him today. Go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code G-O-R-K-A for up to 66% off. And they've got some amazing BOGO offers as well. Let's have Mike's back today and show the left that you can't cancel a patriot like Mike. You can call them 800-829-8468. They've got over 150 amazing products, not just the MyPillow, or just go to MyPillow.com and use promo code G-O-R-K-A for those amazing, amazing offers. All right, this is one of the questions I love the most, because sometimes it's strange answers. It's not the father, it's the grandfather, it's the coach, it's somebody from Boy Scouts. Who was most influential for you in your understanding, what you said about St. Paul's epistle, that transition from boyhood to manhood? Who was a role model? Who was a person who you said, yeah, that's what I want to be?
I would have to say it's my father-in-law, Bishop Patrick Lane Wooden Sr. I met him at the age of 19, and while playing football at North Carolina State University, I would get to church on Sunday mornings by 5:30 a.m. I would meet him there, help him carry his briefcase in, support him. There was nothing too big, nothing too small. And I believe that true manhood comes through service, servitude. You learn to bring yourself down. You learn to be humble. You learn humility. Every man needs someone that can yank his chain. And every man needs someone in their life who's going to tell them the truth, regardless of whether they want to hear it or not. You are left in a bad place if you're in a situation where no one can correct you. If someone goes toe-to-toe with you, you view it as them challenging your authority. No, we all need someone in our life who's going to be honest with us beyond our spouses, right? Because sometimes we don't even want to listen to them. So we need another man, you know, who's accomplished more than us, who have been places that we would never get to tell us and to look us in our eyes and say, you know what, you got that wrong. Or to affirm us and tell us that you got that right.
Let me jump in there, because I see this so much in my son's generation amongst, you know, some of his friends. It's so strange to me as a man who was affirmed by his father and who affirms his son. There seems to be this rampant problem with fathers not showing love and not affirming. And I don't mean in a liberal kind of wishy-washy, wrap them up in, you know, wool. I mean, sure. Just, yeah, that was good, son, and that you did the right thing. Why is there seemingly such a dearth of fathers wanting to tell their sons, yes, you did good today?
I think oftentimes, in the hustle and the bustle of parenting, men can be preoccupied to the point that we're more focused on what's wrong rather than what's right. And so we see things from the notion of, I need to fix problems. I need to find solutions. And so therefore, when there's no problem, we don't acknowledge that there isn't a problem.
Yeah.
We look for what's missing, right? Rather than what's right. And I think that's part of the issue. And all men at some point in time, we're guilty of that. But we do need to not only correct, but we also need to affirm.
And beyond father figures or father-in-law or uncle or grandfather, what about brotherhood? I don't have a lot of friends. I'm not interested in a lot of acquaintances. But the couple of friends I have, male friends, it's a real flipping brotherhood. How important is it to have that peer who's prepared to call, you know, balls and strikes, you know, honestly?
Yes, it's necessary. Accountability is necessary. You need that. Someone that's older than you, but also someone that's pretty much a colleague and a comrade of your same age. You need that as well. I have a friend that does that for me, and it's beneficial. You know, I grow because of it. And we all have blind spots. If you think that you don't have a blind spot and you can't miss things, then you're so woefully wrong. You know, but you need that person who is your age as well to be able to connect with you and say, you know what, you could have done that like this. You were right in what you said, but you could have said it like this. Or the whole process of using diplomacy when we deal with things.
That's my wife's job. I'm not very good at diplomacy. She'll yank my chain and say, you know, there's another way to package what you just wanted to say that's a little bit more delicate. But yes, you gotta have the buddy, whether it's your wife, whether it's somebody you went to high school with, who is prepared to shine a very bright light on your blind. This is the Manhood Hour with Pastor John Amanchukwu Sr. The book is Erased, and we are broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. If you're in daily pain, if you've tried everything else and failed to find relief, what are you waiting for? 500,000 Americans, me included, are getting our daily liberation from pain. People like Leah from Ohio. This is Leah's story. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief only to get better and better. I'm a believer 100%. That should be you. That could be you. But there's only one way to find out. It's super easy. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and 500,000 Americans. Go today, ReliefFactor.com.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, so this is going to be a tough question for me to ask you because you have three daughters, correct, Pastor?
But two sons and one daughter.
Oh, okay, good. Then it's a little bit easier. I thought you only had princesses. But if you got some boys in the household, then I can ask you this question. For those who haven't got children yet or who have young boys that are just about to get to that certain age past the terrible twos, give us a couple of things that are most important for a father to communicate to his son. For my son, and I didn't ask him this, he just communicated to me one day. He said, one of the most important things you did for me, he's now a grown man, is boundaries. You set boundaries of what is permissible and what is impermissible. And I'm so grateful my son shared that with me. What advice would you give young fathers?
Every father should train their child to know the significance of their name and what it means to be a Gorkha or to be an Amanchukwu. We must teach our sons about that. You know, when we get married, you know, our spouses, they lose their last name.
Yeah.
And they take on someone else's name, their identity. And so we need to train our sons. We need to train our daughters what it means to be an Amanchukwu or a Gorkha or whatever the last name is. And by doing so, we build them up and give them a sense of ownership to carry the legacy of that name and the posterity of that name. And so before they recognize what they want to be when they grow up, before they know what college or university they want to go to, before they know the first car that they're going to drive at 15 or 16, they first and foremost know who they want to be, and that's a devout Amanchukwu or a devout Dr. Gorkha.
I love that. I love that. What being a person, a man with that last name represents? What is the value system that you have to portray to the world? Okay, here's a even tougher question. Your book is out soon. You can order it right now. I'm so excited that my publisher picked it up. That wasn't happenstance. That was a God thing. It's Erased, yeah. Uncovering the Lies of Critical Race Theory and Abortion. Given that the abortion industry has been a literal holocaust for Black America, I got to ask you this question. You look at the gang culture, you look at criminality, the fact that most Black men, the most dangerous thing for them isn't a car accident, like for white young men, it's being shot by another Black man. Here's the tough question, Pastor John. Can we save Black men? Can the community, the brotherhood of Black men, be saved? Where do we stand in this? Can it be done? I look at COVID, I look at the lack of leadership from our pastors during COVID, and I'm trying to find the solution. Is there a solution?
Yes, that's a loaded question, many things to unpack. I'll start with the question of can Black America be saved? And the answer is yes, there is hope. There was a time frame where the Black family was intact. But through liberal legislation and policies, they came up with a way to drive a wedge between men being home and them families receiving a $400 check. And so when that took place through Lyndon B. Johnson, through this Great Society and this New Deal, which was a sour deal for Blacks, it pushed the Black man out of the home and it replaced him with government. And so with that in mind, yes, we could point to the 1960s. That was during the Jim Crow era. Even when you go to the 1950s, the Black marriage rate rivaled that of white. So we've done it before. But the only way that we're going to move forward and rebuild the breach is that Black America must give up liberalism. We must go back to where we once were. And that was being independent, and knowing that we did not need government to be God, and that we as a community could build, and we could thrive on our own.
And then what about the relationship between, I love that vision. I see the images from Uncle Tom 2, the movie, the first 5 minutes of incredible archive footage of Black families in the 40s and 50s, incredibly prosperous families. I would be so angry as a Black American today to know how successful American Black families were and what's been done to them. So you're saying that can be rebuilt, and God bless you. I know you're doing your part. What about the relationship between Black America and white America after the last, you know, from Obama, from 2008 to today? I see race hatred being instigated by white liberals through things like Black Lives Matter. Can that be staunched? Can that be stopped as well, Pastor John?
Yes, it can. There's a satanic approach to that as well. You know, I believe that Satan's trigger is childbearing and the image of God, which is also the color of our skin. All of these things reflect the image of God. My Blackness is the image of God. Your whiteness is the image of God. And there was a strategic tool behind creating division between the two. I do believe that the brokenness and the damage that was done to the mental capacity, even the thought process of Blacks in this country, these things can be repaired. You know, I didn't come from the right side of the track. I came from the wrong side. I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. We were dirt poor. My mother took care of four children, making no more than $28,000 a year.
Wow.
But when we moved to Raleigh, North Carolina, I lived in a shelter for a year. But my mother had us on welfare for a small period of time, but she took us off because she didn't like the fact that when we went to school, we had to eat from the free and reduced lunch side of the cafeteria. She wanted us to be able to go to the side of the cafeteria where everyone went to. So she left that side. She left welfare and took on another job and found another way to make more money for the family. I do believe that Blacks in this country can be successful. They can be prosperous. They can realize the American dream. But it's going to come from us knowing that our greatest enemy is not the white man. Our greatest enemy oftentimes is ourselves.
And the devil. I love it. The book is erased. Our guest is Pastor John Amatruku Sr. You're listening to The Manhood Hour, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that thrills, pain relief that is liberating. 500,000 Americans right now, me included. Yes, I had a low back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 3.5 years later. That should be you. That could be you. Find out today. Order the 3-week quick starter pack for $19.95 at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. Do it today. You've waited long enough. The only thing you got to lose, it's the pain. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. All right, you've kind of stolen my thunder on the last question I ask all of our guests on the Manhood Hour, and that is, are you an optimist when it comes to rediscovering and resurrecting manhood? I think you've given us your answer. And as a pastor, I wouldn't expect you to be a pessimist, otherwise you'd have to get another job. So here's a little bit of a different spin for the last question. Give us your advice for the men listening today. Our show is about 3 million listeners live on radio. Then we have all the video content and the social media. What should men do differently today? Hopefully they're reading the Bible every day. Hopefully they're praying in the morning, they're praying at night. But what extra piece of advice would you give real men going forward who want to be real men?
Seek wisdom. The wisest person who ever lived was Solomon, and God granted him wisdom. But throughout the course of Solomon's life, he fell into many different things, to the point that at the end of his days, he said that life was vanity, oh vanity, and vexation of spirit. If there's any way that you could sum up the life of Solomon, it would be content. So I say to men, as we desire to be the richest, to be the smartest, the brightest, to have the biggest car, have the biggest home, have the largest 401k. At the end of the day, we must be content.
And where do we look for wisdom outside of the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament? Where have you found wisdom?
Well, I'll be honest with you. The place where I found true wisdom has always been from the Word of God. You know, someone asked me the question the other day. They said, John, you preach a tough message, but is there any hope for people? And my answer was simple. Yes, there is hope, but there can be no hope without truth. Today, people want hope void of truth, but truth is the red carpet that rolls out hope.
Wow. I love it. Every time he teaches me more stuff, that's why he's the pastor and I'm just the radio host. The book is out imminently. You've got to get it now. It's erased. Follow him at Rev Wu Truth on social media. That's Rev Wu Truth. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We are on all social media except the fascistic YouTube, so please follow us as well, whether it's Truth Social, President Trump's platform, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram, or whether it's Spotify for the audio podcast of of this show or whether it is Rumble for the video. We are everywhere. Follow us. It is, of course, Friday. So let's end with the words of my former boss.
We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield. We will never give in. We will never give up. We will never back down. We will never, ever surrender. My fellow Americans, our movement is far from over. In fact, our fight has only just begun.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream today.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Well, he made it official that former KGB colonel has declared that the four breakaway republics, or rather occupied territories of the Ukraine, are now incorporated into the Russian Federation. Russian imperialism is alive and well. There may not be a formal czar, but there is a de facto czar, and it is Vladimir Putin. What does it all mean? We will discuss with some of the best of the best. It's been far too long. Waleed Faris will be with us, and then from the Heritage Foundation, freshly back from the battlefield from Ukraine, we will have Colonel Dr. Jim Carafano. Latest developments in the Mar-a-Lago case with the president's attorney, Boris Epstein. We will have Second Amendment Friday with our buddy, Grant Stinchfield. And of course, since it is Friday, it's not just the Second Amendment. It's Ask Dr. G Anything Friday. The number here is 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. And then a whole panoply, a cornucopia of cuts, of video clips, of things that, well, just tell you what kind of world we live in and just how racist and bigoted the Democrats are. Here's Nancy Pelosi trying not to say what she really thinks of immigrants who aren't white. Cut five, play cut.
We have a shortage of workers in our country, and you see even in Florida, some of the farmers and the growers saying, why are you shipping these immigrants up north? We need them to pick the crops down here.
What was she hesitant? Eric, you had a theory. She was hesitating. We need these what? What do you think she was wanting to say there, Eric?
I'm trying to think of what I could say that's FCC compliant, but she definitely was stopping for a moment there to think.
What? Probably filthy illegals is what she was thinking. Why aren't they picking our crops? And then you raised the issue. Who was the Democrat who said, if we don't have these illegals, we're not going to have anybody to clean our toilets? Who was that?
That was Kelly Osborne on The View 7 years ago, actually, back in 2015.
The real bigots, whether it was during slavery, whether it's the Dixiecrats or whether it's today, it's the left. They've always been racist. Today, they just hide it under a cloak of critical race theory and diversity and equity and inclusion. Inclusion, which leads to the following. Now, let's try something out here. Can we play a video cut while leaving my mic on? Because this is something I would like to comment on, because sometimes I think our listeners will need to know the actual gender of the person speaking. So this isn't a parody. This isn't an SNL skit. This is Virgin Airlines, you know, Virgin Atlantic, Richard Branson. This is the latest perverse, insane, unreal, anti-truth advertisement for transgender inclusivity. And let's just leave my mic open. So play cut four.
I wanted to be involved in this campaign to affect change in this world.
I
have a trans, non-binary child, so for me, changing the world is my job as a mom and as a friend and an ally. I feel fabulous, fierce, and ferocious when I am ready to take flight.
Be Yourself campaign means absolutely everything to me.
Yeah, that's a woman trying to look like a guy.
I get to be myself, a non-binary person. I have the choice of a uniform, which is a massively big thing. It's so important.
The next is a guy dressed as a woman.
This policy allows everyone to have a seat at the table. It's not taken away from
male
anyone. It's just
in a dress.
Everyone from the community to just have a voice.
It's not about cancelling people. It's
this
not
is
about
a pilot who's a man
moving men.
In
it's
a skirt.
It's just about more inclusive language.
My pronouns are, to be fair, any pronouns, she, her, they, them. I feel great.
Woman
I don't lie.
In a suit.
I feel very swell. Put it on, I said. Yeah, it just feels very much like me. Like, I feel very affirmed in this. Like, yeah, I just feel like myself. I love it.
If we are clean and we are pressed and we are looking the way we're supposed to look, then why aren't we able to present as we identify? And that's what's so beautiful about Virgin Atlantic.
Because identifying as something is a mental condition. If you identified as a cat, you wouldn't be allowed to meow as a stewardess on an airline. If you identified as a schizophrenic, we wouldn't, quote, affirm your schizophrenia. If you had, as Jordan Peterson has said, any other mental condition, we don't affirm your condition. If you walk into the psychiatrist's office and you have been diagnosed with multiple personality disorder, I'm 27 people with different names. We don't say, congratulations, here's an outfit for each 27 of you. Here's a driver's license for each 27 identities. We don't say, yes, that's great. We congratulate you. And the same with gender dysphoria. Whether you're an anorexic or you're a person who feels uncomfortable in your body, whether you think you're fat when you're just 90 pounds in weight, we don't say, well done, vomit more. We don't do that. So why are we doing it now? And why would a corporation get involved? This is so peculiar to me. I have to ask, Mr. G, I'm not going to fly Virgin, but is there anybody out there who sees that advertisement and says, hey, I think I'm going to fly with that mental airline?
That's what I don't get, how you make such a big deal out of it.
Right.
You do such a stupid advertisement like that. What somebody needs to do is they need to mix together the Mark Robinson speech with that. Remember the one that he did?
Oh, yes.
He can get cut up, trucked up. That one would be so great with that commercial.
Will you stop giving ideas to 3 million people, okay? Will you? Let's do that today. Let's put it all out on our social media platforms. We need to do an interspersed edit, a cut of the insanity of the transgender chromosomes in denial lunatics.
This is so peculiar to me. I have to ask,
what was that? I recognize that voice. Is it Friday? Are you punking me? You're just mucking around. Don't press buttons while I'm talking. Do not do that, okay? That is a hangable offense, gentlemen. But I love the idea, Mr. G. We've got to have a social media cut where we play chunks of the Virgin Atlantic ad, and then in between that, I think he was in a church. Wasn't he like he was in a pulpit? He was preaching, right, Mr. G?
Yes, he was.
Mark Robinson. Oh, by the way, thank you for reminding me. You got to get him in studio because he's got a new book coming out and he's going to travel here. The Lieutenant Governor is going to come here into our studio to talk about his new book. So let's do that. But in the meantime, intersperse his speech from that church where he said, it doesn't matter how much you cut yourself up. It doesn't matter what clothes you put on. You're still a guy. You're still a woman. You can't change any of it. All right. Perfect idea. Okay. The number here, 833-33-GORKA. Let's squeeze in one call already. Antoinette, it's Friday. Welcome, Antoinette.
Hey, Dr. G. What I'm going to talk about is that I was an airline stewardess, as I've shared with you, as a flight attendant. I was in two plane crashes. And when you're in an emergency, they are going to be schizophrenic because I had to slap one of the girls to get her out of shock. We were trying to evacuate the airplane because on the one crash, the front main gear collapsed. So we were skidding down the runway. It was on fire. I had to grab this.
All right, Antoinette, I want to hear the full story. I want to hear what happened with your silent protest outside the FBI headquarters in Orange. So we're going to get your number. Jeff's going to call you back after our next guest because I need an update from my warrior for the voiceless out in California. Stay on the line, Antoinette, and Mr. G will call you back. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We've only just begun. What a kickoff for Friday. If you enjoy the show, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. We're on Spotify. My name's Sebastian Gorka, America First. Leave us a 5-star review. Share the links with all your friends because we have a republic to save. And don't forget to check out all the amazing new America First gear at the website, sebgorkastore.com, including the new Stay Frosty Trump Challenge coins. Go to sebgorkastore.com. Back after these messages.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.